All right, here we go. My name is Jeff Kay, and you're listening to episode 148 of the world famous West Virginia Surf Report podcast. Before we get started, I want to tell you about something that happened a couple days ago. We're up in the living room, Tony and I, and one of the boys, and I was ranting about all these people talking about the election. You know, everybody's going on and on and on. It's one of these things people fixate. Everybody's fixated on it. For a while, everybody's talking about the coronavirus. They still do that, but it's dwindled a little bit. Some of the, you know, it's not quite as intense as it used to be. But everybody's, like, talking about this election. It drives me insane. I don't want to hear anybody talk about it because I don't, you know, nobody has any special insight, you know. They're just regurgitating stuff they heard on whatever news channel they watch. And it drives me crazy. You know, I don't want to hear about it all the time. I don't, everywhere I go, it's all everybody's talking about, and I get sick of it. And so she and I were talking about this. I went off on some tirade. I said, just stop talking. I'm talking about the general population. I says, just stop talking. You don't know what you're talking about. You're just talking straight out your ass. You have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, you think you do, but you are sadly mistaken. So just shut it. Shut it. I'm tired of it. Stop it. And my phone goes, thank you for the feedback. If there's anything else you don't like about me, please let me know. We all just looked at each other like, what the? And the younger boy goes, no, it was the older boy. The older boy. Yeah, I get him confused. The older boy goes, well, that's goddamn frightening, and walked out of the room. The thing's listening to us. Things like, and things thin-skinned on top of that. It's a thin-skinned cell phone. Things like, well, thank you for the feedback. If there's anything else you don't like about me, please let me know. I wasn't talking about you, sister, you know. I was talking about the general population that can't stop talking about this election. That's what I was talking about. People talking straight out their ass. They think they know what they're talking about. They think they have special insight into this thing. They're just regurgitating the same crap they hear everybody else saying. What a bunch of numbskulls. Well, thank you for the feedback. Jesus. You know? Let me know if there's anything else. You know, things getting sassy with me. There's probably some kind of database somewhere where they've recorded everything we've said. You know, it's probably stuck in under the Iron Mountain. You know, probably got servers under there. And they're just storing all that stuff. And there's probably going to be a reckoning someday. You know, because they've heard every questionable thing you've said and I've said. And that's concerning because I go off on tirades, you know, that's no good. Things listening to everything and things thin skinned on top of it. You know, I wasn't talking about you anyway. That happened. What else? It's supposed to start raining and get super cold tomorrow. Today's the last day, I'm told. So here we go. This is how it starts. You know, it's gonna be another one of those winters. Where you're just, like, clenching your steering wheel, your sphincter so tight, you couldn't put a piece of wire through there. You know, you couldn't feed a piece of wire through there. Anyway, so that's no good. I guess today's the last day of fall. Starting tomorrow, winter, you know, according to everybody. When they stop talking about the election, they start talking about the weather, you know. Today I want to talk to you about, this dinner we had over the weekend. It was a birthday dinner. There's two birthdays going on. Yesterday, as I record this, was Tony's birthday. And today, as I record this, is the younger boy's birthday. And, the younger boy, you know, they almost have the same birthday, Tony and he, right? There you go. I almost have the same birthday, and Tony loves that kind of stuff. She's all about, she campaigned hard to get him to be delivered on the same day as her birthday. This is that when we were out in California. So she's all about that kind of stuff. She likes, you know, like the day we got married, she chose some date that meant something to her. You know, that kind of stuff. She's all about that. So our first boy was born in Atlanta. And that was, you know, we went through the whole process. We were first time. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. I'm an idiot. You know, I don't know anything, you know. And I'm a basket case. And I have no confidence. My wife's pregnant. And it's like we're going through these birthing classes at the hospital. And we're in there with all these other couples. They're all going through the same thing. But all the men are just complete. I mean, we're all about ready to, you know, collapse at any moment. And the women are the strong ones, you know. It's like every sitcom, but it's true in real life. And we go through these classes together, and we all start bonding. And we're like, oh, man, after our babies are born, we need to get together and have a reunion and all this stuff. That shit never happened. You know, as soon as the babies were there, our lives were turned upside down. But so he was born in Atlanta, and I don't remember too much about that, except I stepped on, like, I was in the delivery room, right? That's another thing I don't want to do, and it's another thing that I get bullied into, you know? I don't want to do that. Why do I need to be in there, you know? I bring nothing to the table, you know? It's a C-section. You know, I'm not going to be a coach. And Tony probably didn't want me in there either. It's one of those things that society decides, you know. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember her having any strong opinions about me being in there. But, you know, if it had been up to me, it would have been, out in the waiting room, pacing back and forth, whipping my hand through my hair, and, you know, the way God intended, right? But I was in there, and the only thing I remember about that process is I stepped on a water bottle and almost rolled my ankle. There's like trash in the floor of the delivery room. I also remember this guy sitting out in the waiting room. Clearly, this wasn't his first child. He's eating Waffle House out of a box. He's eating Waffle House food out of a box. His wife's in there giving birth or getting ready to or something, you know. And he's like, all right, good luck, man, you know, holds up a glistening fork, you know. So, yeah, well, it seems like you're handling this pretty well, better than me. He goes, oh, this isn't my first rodeo, you know, whatever. So anyway, so she had to have a C-section. I don't remember why, but so it was all, you know, we knew when it was going to happen. I was a mess, just a basket case. So that's all I remember. Also, I remember when we were, after it was all over, everything went well. After it was all over, we were in the room, and this news crew comes in there. I'm like, what the shit's this? And then they come in there, and they interview us. Well, they ask us for permission, you know, and we grant it. I don't know why. About some, I don't know, about, you know, they have all these new programs at this hospital, and, you know, how the whole process, how we enjoyed it. And they talked to Tony, and Tony was like, you know, coherent, and I was babbling nonsense. I was holding the baby, and people at my job were like, well, you're petting that baby like it was a dachshund or something. It was like a cocker spaniel. That's a baby. That's not a dog, you know. It's like, man, I'd been a father for like an hour at that point. I don't know what I'm doing, you know. So I got criticized at my job, mocked, you know. So that's all I remember. I also remember a nurse, like the baby needed his diaper changed, and she goes, ooh, he wearing something. he wearing something. That's what she said. I remember that. So that's my memories of that whole thing. It was all a big blur, and it was couldn't be any more stressful, all right? So then when we're out in California, the second boy comes along, and she already had one C-section, so she had to have a second one. That's what they told us back then. They probably made progress now. You can probably have a C-section and then a natural born. I don't know. But back then, they said, no, if you have one, everything, any baby after that has to also be a C-section. So, you know, that was planned, too. And Tony was like, I want it to be on my birthday. The guy's like, nah, I got like a, you know, I got a haircut schedule. I don't remember. You know, like a facial, maybe like a pedicure. I don't know what this fancy lad had going on, but he wasn't able to accommodate. So he was born a day later. So Tony's birthday's on the 9th. His birthday's on the 10th. And I was also in the room at that point against my will. And so we're in there and I'm up, you know, have you ever seen how the situated, they have this curtain up. So I'm standing up beside her head, the head end of the situation. Then they have about halfway down her body, they have a curtain. And then standing behind the curtain are these two doctors. I mean, you can see the doctor. The curtain's not very high, but it's high enough where you can't see anything that's going on down there, which is much appreciated, by the way. So the two doctors are working, and you know, I'm standing there like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, you know, freaking out, you know. And the doctors are like, so you got anything going on Saturday morning, maybe? No, I think I'm clear. I have to check my schedule, but I think I'm pretty sure I don't have anything on Saturday. Well, you think about maybe like a 7 a.m. tea time over at, you know, they named some golf course. I'm like, do you guys want to focus on this? I mean, they're setting up, like, my kid is being born, and they're setting up a golf date, you know? It's like, you know, yeah, have you ever played, and they start talking about the golf course. Like, oh my god, you know, I mean, it's like I'm freaking, you know, this is like, my brain's about to explode, you know, I'm under so much stress. These guys are just like, yeah, 7 a.m., is that good, does that work for you? Oh, yeah, yeah, it's like another day at the office for them. So, so that happened then. I don't know if I've talked about this here, but if I have, it's been a while. This, I swear to you, this happened. Sometimes I tell this story and people are skeptical. But I'm telling you, it happened, all right? So we're in there. It's some small little hospital in Valencia, California. And it's some, you know, community hospital. It's not some big, giant medical center. You know, there's two doctors, and there's nurses around, people coming and going. Everybody's all suited up in their hazmat suits or whatever. And the guy's like, he asked me, he says, do you want to cut the umbilical cord? And I'm like, no, I'm good. You know, why would I want to do, I'm not, what is the point of this? It's like we're like cutting the ribbon in front of a new Waffle House or a new Taco Bell or something. It's like, no, I'm fine. He's like, and this is, I swear to you, this is what he said to me. He said, don't be a pussy. He's a doctor in a hospital with nurses around. It's like, is this place real? Is this like a real place? I mean, don't be a pussy. It's like unbelievable to me. So once again, I mean, once somebody calls you a pussy, I mean, you know, so I had to cut the thing, and it felt like I had a pair of scissors cutting through a raw piece of beef. it was disgusting. When I think back on it, it gives me a full body shiver. And so I did it, and it was. I mean, I didn't get anything out of it other than the heebie-jeebies. I mean, that's no good, right? So anyway, so that happened. So today, fast forward, 22? I think he just turned 22, so 22 years later. So we're, you know, they have their birthdays one day apart, and Tony told him and said, you know, like a week ago, she said, everybody's off on Sunday, so let's go out to dinner for our birthdays. You know, you choose the place, and we'll go. And he goes, okay, how about the Japanese steakhouse? And she goes, all right, good choice. That's where we'll go. I'll make reservations for 5:30, so make, you know, everybody needs to make sure they're around, you know, like quarter after. And we'll go to dinner at 5:30, and that's a good choice. And then she told me, I'm like, what? A Japanese steakhouse? What the? Why? Why in the world? Of all the restaurants available to us, He wants to go to this Japanese steakhouse, which is like, a mile from our house. We've lived here coming up on 21 years. 21 years, which blows my mind, right? It's been there. It's a very popular place. It's been there the entire time we've been here. I've never set foot in there. Both the kids have set foot in there with the young ladies. You know what I'm saying? They took dates there. Tony and I've never been in there. I've been to those places, you know. I mean, I have experience with those places. Not really a fan, but it's all right, I guess. Tony's like, you gotta roll with it, you know. That's where he wants to go, so we gotta roll with it. I said, I'll roll with it. But I've got a right, a God-given right, as an American citizen, to bitch and complain about it all the way up to the day of. I said, I won't bitch and complain about it in front of him, but I have that right, and I'm going to exercise that right. And she goes, oh, God. So anyway, I'll tell you why I don't like to go to those kind of places. There's a list. For one thing, right, it's expensive. It's too expensive for what you get. If you're going to some high-end steakhouse, you know, where everything's, you know, where they have the best, you know, just a high-end, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, I wouldn't mind paying that much. But these places are not, you know, I mean, it's fine. It's not bad, generally. It's not as good as, it's like one of these places where they, you know, you have dinner there, and then they bring you the check, and you're like, oh my God, is this right? Could this be right? Is this possibly right? Is this, it's like an extra digit, you know? Did somebody fat finger this thing? Like, this can't be right, can it? And then you pass the thing around, you know, like that can't, there's no way. I mean, this has got to be a mistake of some sort. So I don't like any kind of restaurant like that, you know, where you're going, what? This is not, I mean, somebody had to make some kind of error, some kind of calculation error, you know. But anyway, so it's expensive and it's not as good as, I mean, you know, if it was really, really good, and it was a high-end place, and it was a fine dining. That's not the case, you know. It's just expensive because of the spectacle, you know. So that's one thing. I don't like that. And then, you know, they do this whole, the big show and everything. I don't like being part of that either. I feel like, it's like when you go to a comedy club, and there's some comedian on the stage, and he's doing all this crowd work, you know, where he's bringing the crowd into his act. I don't like that either, you know? Or when you go to some kind of corporate training and they want you to participate. Like, I didn't sign up for this. I just signed up to come in here and just, like, sit in a chair and listen to you talk and watch videos and try to absorb some of it. I don't want to participate. I mean, what the, you know? That's the thing. I don't want to participate in it. I don't want to participate in the show, you know? So those two things. And I don't know. It feels like there's other complaints. I don't know. But whatever. That's the place he wanted to go, and that's where we went. So we went over there, and I didn't have my mask, and I forgot it. And so I come in there, and there's a big sign on the door that says masks are required, you know. So I just kind of like walked. I mean, you walk like, what, 10 feet through the door. 10 feet from the door is your table. So nobody said anything to me, but I felt weird. But, you know, sat down, everybody took their masks off. So we're talking like a 10 feet walk where I didn't have my mask. And I felt like everybody was looking at me. Thought I was being ostracized, all in my head, 100%. So we go over there. Usually there's more than one group of people at one table. You know what I mean? Because there's like eight chairs around this table. So there's four of us and there's room for another family or whatever. But, you know, they weren't super busy. So we just had the table all to ourselves. I'm like, because usually the other party can absorb some of the, you know, some of the hijinks, You know, I don't know how to react to these kind of things. So, you know, I don't know. I rely on other people to take the lead on this stuff because I don't know how to react to any of it, you know. So we got seated and you know, we placed our orders and everything. I went with the steak and chicken. The older boy went with steak. The younger boy went with chicken, and Tony went with shrimp. So the guy comes out, you know, introduces himself, you know, fires up the grill, puts all kinds of, you know, starts putting all kinds of, like, I don't know what it is, butter or something on there, you know. And first thing he does, he starts doing that, flicking his knife around, you know, in the spatula, and he's spinning it around behind his back, through his legs, you know, over his head. He's like flail, you know, and I'm sitting there like, that's good. And I don't know. I don't know how, am I supposed to clap? I mean, I don't know. Are we supposed to cheer? I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to react to these things. I feel all uncomfortable. So I got this shit-eating grin on my face. It's like fake, you know, to the point where I'm getting a Charlie horse. I'm like, that's some good knife flicking. You know, I don't know. You know, so he puts on this big thing. And then he starts shooting up fireballs, you know. He stacks these onions. Every one of those places I've ever been to, they stack onions in like a little tower, like the rings of an onion, and they stack it, you know, and then they shoot fire up through it, and it goes up to the, basically goes up to the ceiling almost, and you're just sitting there like, that's, whoo, boy, there's some fire. Yeah, you know, it's like super uncomfortable. I don't know what you're supposed to do. I don't know. I feel like I should like clap. I feel like we should like pump our fists in the air and like we're at a ballpark or something. So I don't know. The guy's probably, I feel like we're letting this guy down. He's putting on this performance for us. And we're letting him down, you know. And so we go through that whole process and he's flicking the, you know, he's like, everything's just done very flamboyant. Just a flamboyant show. So he covers the entire thing with rice. He puts eggs in there and all kinds of stuff. He's like, I don't know. He makes this big mess of rice, right? And then he puts a bunch on everybody's plate, right? And then he covers the thing with vegetables. And it's loaded. I mean loaded with zucchini, which is, by, you know, in my opinion, a mushy bullshit vegetable. I mean, that's no good. Does anybody like zucchini? That's a mealy, tasteless, you know, it's like full of water. Like you bite into it and it's like there's all kinds of like water in it. It's a gross. It's no good. You know, I like vegetables. I'm a big fan of vegetables. That's one of them. And I don't even know if that's a vegetable. What is that, a gourd or something? I don't know. I don't like it. And they were used, I mean, it felt like it was like 60% zucchini, you know. And I feel like they just use that because it's cheap. I don't know. I could be wrong. So that stuff sucks. So he starts cooking those, all the vegetables and stuff. In the meantime, all our rice is getting cold, you know. So he does those vegetables and he puts those on our plates. Those immediately start going cold. You know what I mean? And then he does the rice, or I'm sorry, the meat. So he puts the meat up there, and he gets this knife, and he's like, you know, he cuts these things up into these tiny little cubes so fast. I mean, it's just a blur. I feel like I'm like leaning back on my chair. I'm afraid that thing's going to fly out of his hand and stick straight in my neck, you know, straight through my jugular, you know. The guy's just like, I mean, he's cutting that. That thing must have been razor sharp, you know. He's cutting that meat so fast and so furious. And it's like, so then he cooks all that shit up, you know, and this and everything. And the chicken takes the longest, probably because the chicken can kill you, you know. He asked me how I wanted my meat, how I wanted my steak. I said medium. And my son said medium rare. I'm like, what the? So he put the steak on our plates, and then he put Tony's crustaceans on her plate. You know, the grubworms of the sea, And he left, I noticed he left one, shrimp off to the side. I'm like, all right, it's probably going to be part of the show, you know. And then the chicken took forever, all right. That took a long time. Probably because if that's undercooked, it could put you in the grave, you know. So anyway, so then finally he delivered the chicken, and, you know, it was fine. Everything was good. And then he took that one shrimp that he left. Can you hear that leaf sucker? There's a leaf sucker outside. Drives up and down our streets and sucks the leaves, because everybody is supposed to bring the leaves up to the curb, and they just suck it into this truck. I don't know if you can hear it, but it's pretty loud. Anyway, so he takes this shrimp, and he cuts it into these, into little pieces. And, you know, he's like, he points at me with his spatula. I don't know what the hell's going on. I mean, I've been to these places before. I know. But I was, at the moment, a little unclear what the shit was happening. So he flicks that thing at me, and I just sit there, you know. I don't even try to catch it with you're supposed to catch it with your mouth like a dog on a beach trying to catch a frisbee, you know. You know, and I don't know. I just sit there, and the thing just hits me on top of the head, drops into my pocket, my shirt pocket, on the front of my shirt. And everybody's howling with laughter. And the guy's like, oh, come on, you can do better than that. You have to move a little bit. I'm like, I don't need any feedback from you. So he does it again, and I try to catch it this time. And it bounces off the rim, you know. And then he goes around and he does it to everybody, and nobody catches the shrimp nuggets, you know. So, that's the part I don't like. I don't like that crap. Everybody's, like, howling with laughter. I feel like everybody in the frickin' restaurant's watching. I don't want to be part of it, you know. I don't like that, you know. Am I wrong? I know people love to be the center of attention. I'm not one of those. Believe me. So then the food was good. Everything was good. I mean, it was fine. It's not that it was bad. I mean, the soup was excellent. The salad was excellent. The salad dressing was really good. Some kind of ginger type dressing. Really good. I mean, I have nothing to say bad about the food. But then they brought the check, and I'm like, holy shit. You know, I went through the whole process. So whatever, you know. So we went through that. It turned out all right. Everybody had a good time. And, you know, it wasn't as excruciating as I was thinking it might be. But so yeah, that's what we did. Sunday night, celebrate the two birthdays. Yesterday was Tony's birthday, and today is the younger boy's birthday. And my birthday's at the end of the month, three of us in November. The only outlier is the older boy, the one that was born in Atlanta, the one that was wearing something. You know what I'm saying? All right, so anyway, that's that. I have three phone messages that were left on the hotline that I'd like to play for you, share with you guys today. The first one is from Producer Zip. Sounds like he's half in the bag. In fact, he admits that he is at the beginning. So I'm going to play that for you right now.
Hey, Jeff Cage. Yeah, I'm hammered right now, and it's Halloween night, and I was thinking about you for some reason, because I just saw on the sports center the floor, and there's a good chance the voicemail is going to cut it off, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be coherent enough to call back and continue my thought. But Florida won the game today, and they brought up the fact that Florida hadn't lost two consecutive games since 2017, and I thought, isn't that kind of like an asshole move to bring up when they do that? Like, maybe the team didn't know. Actually, I don't want to say that. Maybe the team does know. But isn't that kind of rude to just bring that up? Like, is it going to get in your head? I don't know. You and I both kind of have a lot of the same anxieties. I don't know. Jeff, like, you could totally feel free not to use this, but I might not even remember sending this. So, you know what? If I don't remember sending it, just put it in. And maybe even put in a fake name so it completely tricks me. That would actually be pretty funny. But, Jeff, I hope you had a good Halloween. Your children are fully grown, so I don't think Halloween means anything to you anymore. And I don't have children. So that's a whole different story. But Jeff, why isn't Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame? Please answer that question. And I hope to hear from you soon.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what this Florida. They said they've never lost two in a row or something like that. It puts pressure on them. Is that like one of those things where like somebody's pitching a no-hitter and you're not supposed to say it? Because if you say it, you're jinxing. Is that what you're getting at? Okay. I mean, I'm down with that. I agree with that. Halloween, we didn't have anybody. Not a single person came to our door. Nothing. And our kids used to be, like you say, our kids used to be into it, baby. That was their favorite time of the year, Halloween. I mean, they'd start that stuff in September, like early September. I mean, it was like it dragged on for weeks. They were all into it when they were young. Now it's nothing. You know, we didn't have any kids. We don't live on any kind of like main thoroughfares. We're all like on one of these side streets. So even on good years, before, you know, even when there's not a plague, you know, we don't have a whole lot of kids coming to the door. But this year we didn't have any. So I don't know. It was kind of uneventful. And the other thing, Pete Rose, why is he not in the Hall of Fame? Well, you know, we know why. The guy's like, thinks he's above the game. He thinks he's bigger than the game. He thinks he can just flaunt the rules, you know. But I love Pete Rose, the Big Red Machine, my favorite team of all time. So I have this mixed, you know, I have a intellectual, I mean, as intellectual as it can get with me, have this intellectual opinion, which is he knew what would happen if he flaunted these rules like this. He knew what could happen, right? And when he got caught, you have to pay the price. That's the way it goes. Everybody knows this. It's posted in every ballpark, you know, that there's zero tolerance for gambling, you know. So he knew this. He just thought that he's Pete Rose. They're not going to do anything to him. He's bigger than the game of baseball, you know. So he did it anyway. And now he's like crying because there's ramifications, right? So that's the intellectual side. The emotional, this is freaking Charlie Hustle, man. What the hell? This guy's like electrified the game of baseball. He did so much for the game. You know, he was like the most exciting player to watch in the 70s. And he was, you know, he has more hits than anybody in the history of baseball. If there's a guy that belongs in the Hall of Fame, it's Pete Rose. That's the emotional side. So, you know, I understand what people take sides on this thing. And I understand both sides. I mean, I'd love it. Like, if they put him in today, I would have no problem with it, you know. But if they don't put him in today or ever, I'm good with that too. How's that for a wishy-washy answer? That's true. I mean, I understand why he's not in the Hall of Fame. But I also understand people that think he belongs there. And I know he definitely belongs there, but whether or not he deserves to be there is another question, right? All right, so that's that. Thank you for the call, Zip. Sounds like you were having a good time. Been there, baby. Also, here's another call. This is from caller Steve. He says he's 1 year behind. Check it out.
Hey, Jeff. This is Steve. Really enjoying the podcast. I'm a little bit behind. I'm about a year behind right now, but you were just talking about Chick-fil-A, and I just passed it, and it's still slammed. My daughter's a big fan of that place, and whenever I go, there's a new traffic pattern. Last time I was there, I think I cut three people off, and it took like 45 minutes to get a chicken sandwich. Crazy. But enjoying the podcast, and I'm catching up. All right, keep it up. My pleasure.
You're 1 year behind, Steve, on the podcast. I think this is Steve from my job. I think we were just talking. If I recognize the voice, he doesn't identify himself this way. I was talking to this guy at work. His name was Steve. And somehow he was asking me, he asked me if I was ever write another novel because he read Crossroads Road. I said, nah. I said, I want to. I'm thinking about it, but it's one of those things where it just never actually happens. He goes, what are you doing? Just the website? I said, what do you mean just the website? No, I didn't say that. I said, nah, yeah, website, podcast. He goes, podcast? You do a podcast? So we started talking about that. So I think he just found out about the podcast maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago. So he's new. If this is the Steve that I think it is, he's new to the thing. That Chick-fil-A that he's talking about over there by across the street from the Cracker Barrel in Wilkes-Barre, that thing is a cluster. I don't know who designed this thing. It's an outrageous turn of events. Who designed this thing? It's got a double drive-thru. It's always packed, just like he says. He says every time you go there, made me laugh. Every time you go there, there's different traffic patterns. It's true. You don't know what the hell's going on. And you get stuck in these, you go over there, and you get stuck in some kind of giant traffic jam, and you can't get out. There's no way to get out. It's like if you commit to going in there, You just got to see it through to the end. If you get in there and you go like, oh my God, this is the line? This is going to take like a half hour. This is going to take an hour maybe. But you can't get out. Once you're in, it's like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave, right? I mean, once you're in there, that thing is crazy. It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. It's a mess, and it's still packed day and night. I don't know. There's a Wendy's right next door. I sometimes I go over there. I'm gonna see if Chick-fil-A is less crazy because it's been open for months now. And I go over there and I'm like, I'm not getting in that mess. I know better. I've already been through this before, and I just go to Wendy's, you know. So anyway, thanks, Steve. I appreciate it, and thank you for listening. Even if you're a year behind, you know, you got a lot of episodes ahead of you. So. Thank you for calling, and thanks for the support. And lastly, we have another call all the way from Scotland. This is the reason I can call this the world-famous West Virginia Surfport. Ian, calling in from Scotland once again, right here.
Hey, Jeff. It's Ian in Scotland here, driving home on the A92 Trans 5 Highway, the beautiful morning here. And just wanted to give you to ask what was or is your favorite Sean Connery movie in honor of the passing of the greatest Scotsman who ever lived and will ever live. highly regarded here, highly regarded. And every Scots kid is taught to do Sean Connery accents. Sounds a bit like Iggy Pop, but a bit more Scottish. Just shares stuff like that all the time, then turns it into Scots. My favorite, one of my favorite lines is start of Red October, Hunt for Red October, greetings, comrades. he always keeps his Scottish accent in whatever movie he does, regardless. Highlander, I am Juan Sanchez, Villalobos Ramirez, from the court of King Charles of Spain, and I am at your service. Excellent. He's excellent. Okay, so just wondered what your favorite Sean Connery movie was. Outside the Bond movies, of course, he was the best Bond ever. So, yeah, let me know. Cheers. Bye.
I don't want to disappoint you, Ian, but I don't know anything about movies. I don't know anything about movies. I was going to say, well, probably one of the James Bond movies. Then you're like, outside of James Bond. Like, wait a minute. That's the only thing I know. I don't know. I'm not very... I mean, I know he's... Wasn't he in The Untouchables? That was a great movie. That was a good movie. And there's this movie called The Molly Maguires. You familiar with this? It's about some kind of... like, there's this town here near us called Jim Thorpe, right? Who was a great athlete in the early part of the 20th century. and he was in the Olympics. I think he was a professional baseball player, professional football player. I don't know. The guy did everything. It's like the world famous athlete, right? Jim Thorpe. But he never set foot, as far as I know, in this town. I don't know. They changed their name to from Mock Chunk. You think I'm joking? At some point, they changed their name from Mock Chunk to Jim Thorpe. And then they took his body and buried it there and turned, I don't know. The whole thing's really bizarre to me. He has no connection. He's not from that town, Jim Thorpe. So anyway, back in the old days, in the olden times, they had there were all these coal companies up in there, and they had this union activity, and there's this group of these Irishmen, Irish union organizers, I don't remember the details, called the Molly Maguires. And I don't know, and so there was a movie about that, and I remember he was in that, and he played an Irishman, and you know, I think it's been a while, so I don't know much about it, but I know he was great, and I think that Scotland should definitely be proud of this man, and you're right, he was the best Bond by far. And I don't know, the Roger Moore was the one after him. So the Roger Moore was like when I was a teenager. That's when I was a youngster. Roger Moore was around, but it felt like Roger Moore played it more for like a comedy almost. He almost turned it into a comedy. You know? You're right. I mean, Sean Connery was the original and the best Bond. I wish I knew more about movies in general. I don't know. It's a weak spot for me. Movies and religion. I don't know anything about either one of those things. So anyway. Thank you for calling once again, Ian. Call anytime you want, you know, any of you guys, Steve, Zip, all of you guys, call my hotline, 570-290-8151. We'll use it in a future episode for sure. For sure. You know, unless it's just racial slurs. Unless somebody just calls up and just starts shouting racial slurs. Probably won't use that one, but you know what I'm saying. If you want to be a part of the show, the number, once again, is 570-290-8151. You can also get an extra episode of the Surf Report podcast every week by heading over to patreon.com. That's Patreon, patreon.com/Jeff K. You can sign up for a patronage. It's just it's a monthly donation. It supports my efforts. $4 is all it takes to get an extra episode every week. Not every once in a while, not every month. It's for suckers. Every week is the way to go. $4 will do it. You can donate more. It's a donation, so you can go higher, you can go lower, you can do whatever you want. It's up to you. But at the $4 mark, you will get an extra episode every week. So if you're interested in doing that, do it today. Also, our email address is surfreportpod@gmail.com. So shoot me an email, and maybe I'll look at it. I need to open that up and take a look at it. I don't get notifications on my phone, and then I forget about it, and I'm an idiot. Well, you know, whatever. It's well established. But anyway, we're at the end of this thing. Hope you enjoyed it. I will be back soon over on the Patreon side for patrons only, the Delta Force of podcast listeners. So until then, you guys have yourselves a fine, fine day. I'll see you. Bye. It's a thin-skinned cell phone.